You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday, as the backside of a three-day weekend tends to do. Hope you're having a good morning out there, wherever you are. Mike McNamara in for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. Hope you had a good weekend. On Friday, I talked about there's a pretty significant educational component that goes on during Memorial Day weekend. And it ranges from, you know, a lot of people just don't know, which is, it's stunning, you know, but they just don't know. So you encounter them. You encounter friends that, I mean, and you would think that your friends would, you know, have a clue. And they bomb you with, you know, happy Memorial Day. So there's another education piece. And then there's in your neighborhood. I mean, I remember as a kid, everybody had a flag, right? And in most houses, they were in the closet right next to, you know, the entry hall closet or the first closet you came to in the house where you put coats and stuff like that, right inside the front door. And, it was that little stick, you know, rolled up flag. That stick might have been 3 feet long. The flag, and it had that metal little adapter that you put out in front of your house. You screwed it into some kind of post or whatever, the side of the house or whatnot. And, you know, you walked in, you opened the closet, you got the flag, you stuck it out in front on the appropriate days. And there's not as much of that anymore. So I take it upon myself to put flags up at my house. Now, some of them I had, and I don't know where I got a big flag, and I don't know where I got it. I was thinking about it yesterday. So I went to put my flags up, and I want to say there's a couple of 3x5 flags that I got in Iraq, and that they were actually flown over Camp Fallujah. So I have those. And then I went to Home Depot, which I do on occasion. And so the project yesterday was I pulled up some carpet off the patio in my backyard. And then you got to get the glue off the concrete. So I needed a kind of a big time scraper because it's a whole patio. The patio might be 14 feet, 15 feet by 30 feet. So yeah, no little handy device is going to do that. So anyway, as I'm driving to Home Depot, I thought, you know, I've got another bigger flag. Where the hell is it? I mean, the two flags I put up are, I had ironed them, right? They're in my, I hang them in a closet I have, and actually in here in the studio. So, I'm driving to Home Depot when I think, where the hell is that flag? I know I have a bigger one. And then it dawns on me, it's in the studio on top of the bookcase. So I come home and I put that, I put that up. And so I've got like four flags flying from my house. One of them's huge. I don't know how big the, it might be 10 feet by 4 feet. It's a big flag. And so anyway, so I got those up and then I'm at Home Depot and I buy some like flags that are maybe 2 feet tall on sticks. And I put those around my yard. I bought about five of them. So, yeah, I got the whole thing going. And then the normal flags I fly off my house, the Marine Corps flag and the American flag. So, but I do that as a reminder to people. You're supposed to put your flag up. So there's an educational component to that. So I think a lot of education, you know, going on Memorial Day. Now, the whole happy Memorial Day thing, it just shows lack of thought. They don't understand. And so the thought, instead of being angry about it, the thought you need to get in your head is Jesus' thought when he was being crucified. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the thought you need to have in your head, right? They're good people. If they understood what it really meant and its impact, they wouldn't say that. They would put their flag up. Hasn't been a part of their lives. You know, just like we've all learned during the COVID-19 thing that, you know, saving money, while it was essential to our grandparents, not so much anymore. You just consume it. And that whole, you know, it was interesting living in the Midwest for 14 years. When somebody gets a raise or gets promoted, guess what they don't do? They don't go out and immediately move and get a new car and whatnot. They throw it in the bank. Yeah, they still live in the same home that they built and the neighborhood they grew up or wherever they're living in. In California, man, they load up the truck and they move to Beverly, man. So different. And even though people make, you know, might make really good money, they're living paycheck to paycheck. So anyhow, we, you know, learning is part of growing up. And a lot of people are learning some lessons, some basic financial lessons that were fundamental to our grandparents that haven't been fundamental because haven't gone through something like this in a long, long time. Now, I think we're going to find on the backside of this is that much of it was self-inflicted and did not have to be that way. But you had a hysterical governor in New York who performed poorly throughout. No matter, you know, no matter what his bedside manner is and how calm he is in his self-serving press conference, he set an expectation and went on TV and said, told everybody, this is coming to you. And clearly it didn't. And so he should be held accountable for that and some other stuff. But everybody learning. And the same thing with Memorial Day. And if you're a veteran, don't get frustrated. Just say, man, it's part of the education that I have to give to people. And then when you do, and I had a couple conversations, people came by and asked about the flags. And I said, oh, no, it's I think it's important. And I said, so don't forget, sometime this week, you know, with your kids, tell them what today is all about. And that there's people that gave their life, their only life, so that they could be free. And they're like, oh, we will. And so, again, it's just, it's important. It's important. So I did that. But I want to play a couple pieces of audio for you. The first one is a Fox Business Report. I think my favorite person of any sorts on the news. I like Brett Baer as a news guy. I like Britt Hume as a news guy because to me they're traditional news guys. They're not opinion people that are trying to masquerade as news people. So I want to play Charles Payne talking about the market today, and it's awesome. And then I want to play something that a Marine who listens actually been on the program. James Moran sent me. Anyway, this is his pastor out in front of their church in New Jersey. His name is Andy Reese. And there's a few other pastors there. And he's from Solid Rock Baptist Church in New Jersey. And they were opening this weekend in defiance of New Jersey's governor, and I want you to hear it. I mean, they quote the Constitution, and it's pretty fundamental stuff. So, anyway, I want you to listen to that too. And he sent it to me, and he said, "Listen to 2 or 3 minutes." I listened to it's like 30 minutes, so I'll play that for you too. And I promise you, you'll enjoy it. So, okay. I'm trying to think, let me start the show. So before I do Charles Payne, the United States Marine Corps band makes this Tuesday, which happens to be the 26th day of May in the last week of May this year, June. Yeah. So get ready for it. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. This is dedicated to everybody who really pays the price on Memorial Day, and that is the families of those who give their lives for this country, and those Gold Star families, and we're going to talk about them this week and hopefully next week. They deserve your support. So so don't forget them. Find a way to reach out, right? Find a way to reach out and let them know that you give a shit. So this is dedicated to them. This past weekend is a difficult one for them, in which you know, the symbols of people giving their lives for the country are all over the place, and makes for a tough weekend. So anyhow, it's dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather around Marineland. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 69 degrees. Camp Lejeune down the coast, same exact weather, cloudy and 69. 29 Palms, going to be hot. Sunny and 83 already out in the high desert of Southern California. Home of Regimental Combat Team 7. Camp Pendleton is foggy and 62. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 70. Okinawa Shima. Yeah, that's what it's known. Is dark, cloudy and 78. Lashkar Gah is clear evening and 92 degrees. And it's cooled off in Iraq. Sunny and 90 late in the afternoon in the city of Ramadi. Currently mostly cloudy and 64 degrees. Looking for a high of 76 today. 73 tomorrow and 74 on Thursday. Short week this week, and we love that. So there you have it. All right, I normally take a break right now, but I'm not going to do that, okay, because I've got a couple things I want to play, and then Grant's going to join us. So this is Charles Payne from a bit ago, and, you know, the whole COVID thing, and I like him because he gets fired up. I like people that click off safe. Okay. Yeah. As you can tell, that's what my friends do. They click off safe. They're not like the smooth bullshit jackasses that you see on TV. They will click the fuck off safe. which is why we're friends. Anyway, because they're honest. So this is a little bit ago, Business Report on Fox News, with my commentary, of course.
Quick check on Wall Street this morning, and look at that rally. The Dow up more than 600 points right now, crossing the 25,000 mark at the start of trading today on encouraging news on the search for a COVID-19 vaccine. Investors back on the trading floor, by the way, at the New York Stock Exchange for the first time in 2 months. We saw that this morning when the New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was there to ring the opening bell. Charles Payne is the host of Making Money with Charles Payne on Fox Business. Charles, good morning to you. I know that I'm just going to tee you up here because you have been talking about this stock market rebound since mid-March. And here we are, the Dow passing through 25,000, the broader market, S&P 500, passing through 3,000. Is this sustainable?
I think it is, Sandra, and I think there's something that's even more, moving it more than the vaccine news, to be quite frank with you. And I just think with the scenes, the images that we saw over the weekend, if you want proof, forget about the polls, forget about the survey, forget about the politicians. You want to know if Americans want to go back out? We saw it. We saw it across the country. We saw it on Main Street. We saw it on beaches. We saw it everywhere. People want to get out. They want to engage in this economy. They want to re-engage in life. And I think the market is feeding on that. You know, we still don't have a vaccine. We still, are trying to social distance and do the right things. But we also know that that was the question mark. Would people go back out? Would they resume any facsimile of normalcy? And believe me, they were eager. They were champing at the bit. By the way, yesterday, Japan opened, and they were and their prime minister, Abe, said, we did it our way. We didn't have lockdowns. It's unconstitutional to lock down the economy in Japan. Some would say in America. The bottom line, though, is I think the idea that, you know, we will find a way to reengage in our economy as we wait for the vaccine.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. As we all know, not much business is actually done physically on the New York Stock Exchange trading floor anymore. But as a symbol of hope, seeing the floor reopen this morning, as symbolic as the New York Stock Exchange is of capitalism, free markets in this country, you know, it was a moment to see that reopen. And this is as we're seeing restrictions lifted in so many states this morning. You look at the map, Arkansas, freestanding bars can now reopen as of today. Michigan, retail businesses, auto dealerships, New York, veterinarian practices, in Ohio, gym and fitness centers, Virginia, state park cabins and lodges. People can start to take weekend getaways. There is this big reopening happening right now, and that's fueling at least optimism. You saw consumer confidence numbers surprising to the upside this morning. And Charles, I thought you were going to talk about this first. New home sales surprising to the upside. So there's some good economic news to report out.
My goodness.
Listen to him. He throws a fit.
New home sales came in at a rate of 623,000. The estimate was 480,000. You're right. Absolutely. And this is in April. This is during the biggest shutdown month of the year. It went through the roof. Now, here's the problem, though, Sandra. These places that refuse to open up. So, mm-hmm. OpenTable, which does the reservations, if you look at May 24th and May 1st, on May 3rd, almost every single major city was down 100% year over year. But now Chicago's still down 100%. New York City's down 100%. Chicago's down 100%. But Dallas, down only 73%. Phoenix, down only 74%. Miami, down only 60%. Let the folks go out. Let them be responsible. They can do it. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. I think that people need to start looking closer, for instance, in New York City. I told you guys on last Wednesday about how my old neighborhood in the Bronx is different than Greenwich Village. You know, for all the critique that the administration takes for travel bans, these cities like New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, they have de facto travel bans. They don't want people coming from the Bronx into the city because that's the only way you could explain why businesses, at least in certain neighborhoods, aren't open. So, listen, it's time to be smart about this. And everyone knows, everyone hunkered down, everyone did what they were supposed to do. But we want to survive this and survive it both health-wise and economically-wise.
To your point about some of those blue states that are slow walking their reopens, the Wall Street Journal editorial board wrote about that this morning in their piece, The Blue State Lockdown Blues. Charles, talking about their slow walk, will actually hamper the broader economic recovery. Democrats are begging Congress for budget relief, but they're still planning to raise taxes to finance worker pensions that they won't reform. The same states that are loudest in demanding a federal rescue have hurt themselves the most with long, strict lockdowns and tax and spend policies. It was really fascinating, though, to another point that we were talking about this morning. Jason Furman, a former economic advisor in the Obama years, talking about what he sees will eventually be a sharp economic recovery. So there's so many ways to look at this. We've got Larry Kudlow coming up. Final thoughts from you this morning, Charles. You're fired up.
California by far got the most PPP loans, small businesses out there. I mean, by far, more than maybe the next two or three states combined. They want to go back to work, okay? It's time for these blue states to stop relying on the federal government and politics to drive this policy. Let Americans go back out there. We're smart, we're responsible, we'll get it done.
And that is key. We want everybody to reopen as safely as possible. And engage right in all of those recommended social distance guidelines, et cetera. Charles, great to have you here this morning. We're looking at the Dow up 617 points. We'll see you again soon. Thank you.
Woo! See you later.
That's not, hey, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to get fired up. But, yeah, the editorial I talked about in the Wall Street Journal, the blue state lockdown blues, the slow reopening in liberal states will hurt the national recovery. Listen to this. Nearly two-thirds of leisure and hospitality jobs in New York, New Jersey, and about half in California and Illinois have disappeared between April and May, compared to only 43%, so 66%, as opposed to 43% in Florida, which has been among the last states to lock down and the first to reopen. Governor Ron DeSantis also provided exemptions for lower-risk businesses, including contractors, manufacturers, and some retailers. 4% of construction workers in Florida lost their jobs, compared to 41% in New York, 27% in New Jersey, 17% in California, and 11% in Illinois. And the last paragraph says this. Democrats are begging Congress for budget relief, but they're still planning on raising taxes to finance worker pensions that they won't reform. Mr. Murphy in New Jersey wants a higher millionaire tax rate. Illinois Democrats are pushing a November referendum to make the state's flat tax progressive. Unions in California are collecting signatures for a ballot initiative in November to eliminate the state's constitutional cap tax, Proposition 13, on commercial property that would raise $12 billion annually. Mr. Cuomo said over the weekend that New York's economy won't bounce back quickly and will need federal help. Yet the same states that are the loudest in demanding a federal rescue have hurt themselves the most with long, strict lockdowns and tax and spend policies. If I could get out my crystal ball, I would tell you that those policies will end relatively quickly, because the budget problems that they're going to have are going to be huge. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a college football coach, and we were just talking. And he said, can you imagine if all that TV revenue that gets pumped into universities all over this country doesn't happen this fall? I said, oh, it'll happen, trust me. He said, no shit. All those raises, all those pensions that get paid for by those universities, all their beautiful lifestyles that they live, right? All gets paid for on the back of college, not all, but some of it, you know, gets paid for on the back of college athletes. So, yeah, I would recommend that. It's called the Blue State Lockdown Blues, published yesterday. And again, I would tell you, in California, it's just stupid. And the piece of data you need to keep your eye on is this, okay? The piece of data is deaths, not infections, because this, you know, there's a 99% recovery rate among people with low morbidity factors and people under the age of 60. That's the truth. And so why would you keep your economy locked up? It's stupid. And the way you do it is you say, this is the standard if you're a retail outlet, do this. This is the standard if you're a food place, do this. If you meet these standards, no problem. Life will go on. Anyway. All right. Now, First Amendment and religion. Okay. I want to play this that a Marine sent me. And no matter how people have been characterized, right, this is a pastor in New Jersey. His name is Andy Reese, and they're Solid Rock Baptist Church. And it's a press conference in front of local media.
Solid Rock Baptist Church, and we appreciate you being here with us today. And I apologize for the wind just whipping around out here. Nothing we can do about that. We are going to start with prayer because we always do that when we have church, and that's what we're all about here today. So I'm going to pray. Father, I pray that you would bless this time together. I pray give us wisdom as we speak. I pray that you would bless the reporters. I pray you'd be with them and their families. I pray you'd be with the great state of New Jersey today. And we pray in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I'm going to read words from the Bible. Jesus said this, I will build my church. And Christ's church is the greatest organization on earth because he's the one who ordained it. He's the one who established it. And the point would be today that churches are important and churches are essential. And so we are what you would call an independent Bible-believing Baptist church. And these churches have been in our country's history since the beginning, and there are many across the great United States of America. Our church here, Solid Rock Baptist Church, was started in 1981, so we're 38 years old. We started renting a building over in West Berlin, New Jersey, and this is our church building that you're at today, and we're glad that you're here. We want to welcome you as our guest. We are also speaking today for other churches in New Jersey that are Bible-believing churches and Baptist churches especially, but we do believe in some ways we speak for all churches in that the church is essential. The church is important. So I just wanted to give this much about us. We love our state. We love our communities. We love our own church family, and we love being here in New Jersey. I've got my New Jersey flag on today, my pin, and I love our state. I was born here, and I'm 52 years old. I say this, New Jersey born, New Jersey bred. When I die, I'll be New Jersey dead. I love our state, and I appreciate our state. We love our leaders in government. We love Governor Murphy. We appreciate our other leaders, and we are praying for them, that God would give them wisdom. We are a very patriotic church. We appreciate and love law enforcement. So I say that, and as you pulled up here today, you saw a lot of American flags. We recognize Memorial Day every year, and we are 4th of July in Berlin Borough here. We put a big giant float in. I say all of that because we are in no way trying to do anything that would be unsafe, unpatriotic, un-American. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Back in March, when the coronavirus was first being talked about, most of our type churches went to an online format almost overnight. And we did that because, one, the safety of our own church family. We wanted to make sure that we were doing the best thing for them. And then also the church, the community. We're good citizens. We love Berlin. We love Camden County. And we were trying to do the right thing in figuring out what it was all about. Obviously, the virus has impacted a lot of people, and we as pastors are especially saddened by those who have died and those who have been sickened by the virus. We have a dear pastor friend in Virginia, and he was someone who has the virus and has been impacted by it. So we do not stand here today and act like the virus is not real. We know that it's real. We know that it's dangerous. And so we have studied it like other Americans have. And as those residents in New Jersey have studied the statistics and all the different things, we too have done that. And so we, at this point, feel that we know the precautions that have to be taken. Our elderly in particular need to be watched out for, cared for. We're especially careful with them, and we know that we need to take measures to protect our church family and protect the community from the coronavirus. We know that. We're not opposing that. We understand it. We accept it. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, and I'm going to read that to you, and it is very important for people to understand. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, for us as a church, assembling is part of what we believe is our biblical mandate from God. We feel that it is our responsibility to obey the Bible, God's word, and God's word tells us that we need to assemble as a local church. And so we believe that we must do that as a church because it's what God tells us to do. Pastor Andy Reese is here in the middle. This is Pastor Charles Clark Jr., and then this is my brother Michael. Pastor Reese is going to, in just a moment, speak and talk about why church is so important to us and why we must meet as the church. Governor Murphy issued his executive orders, and we love the governor. We are praying for the governor that God would give him wisdom. We are very grateful for his efforts to extinguish the fire of the coronavirus. We as churches are not on the other side of this thing trying to throw wood or gasoline on the fire. We are absolutely, that is not our intention. We are praying that God would give our leaders wisdom. But here's our reality. We have religious rights as Americans and as churches. The pilgrims came here for religious liberty.
All right, you heard the first part, which was the greeting, right? Now, listen to this.
December 15th.
And again, this is, his name is Andy Reese. He's a pastor of Solid Rock Baptist Church in Clementon, New Jersey. Okay, and that's who's talking right here.
1791 in Congress Hall in Philadelphia, 17 miles from here, the Bill of Rights was adopted, including the First Amendment. And the First Amendment is something that is recognized across our nation. And I'll read here, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And that comes from our First Amendment and guarantees our religious rights. Also, our New Jersey Constitution guarantees our religious right. And Attorney General Barr has spoken on April 14th. He said, even in times of emergency, when reasonable and temporary restrictions are placed on rights, the First Amendment and federal statutory law prohibit discrimination against religious institutions and religious believers. Thus, government may not impose special restrictions on religious activity that do not also apply to similar non-religious activity. April 27th, Attorney General Barr said this, the Constitution is not suspended in times of crisis. And I want to reread that. The Constitution is not suspended in times of crisis. We must, therefore, be vigilant to ensure its protections are preserved at the same time that the public is protected. So we believe today as churches, and I'll speak in particular for Solid Rock Baptist Church, that we have our First Amendment religious rights, and they cannot be infringed upon even during the time of the coronavirus situation. The liquor store has been open the entire time. The grocery store has been open. Walmart's open. The pet store is open. The bicycle repair shop is open. And all are considered essential, but the church has been closed, and the church has been considered non-essential. We strongly disagree with that. The church cannot stay closed. It's wrong, it's unconstitutional, and it's a discrimination against the churches. You cannot say those other places can be open and people can go inside of them, but the church must stay closed. I know the idea would be from our governor that people coming into a church and being seated, being sedentary as part of the issue. We will do it the right way here in our church, as safe as possible, sanitized, and using social distancing. Brother Mike Clark will reference that in just a moment. But the point would be, those who are working in those places, at the liquor store, at the Walmart, and I'm not beating up on Walmart, but my point would be, those employees are there all day long in that location. Our people are coming in for a church service, and then they're going home. The same people that can go in the grocery store on Saturday can come into our church on Sunday. And that is a point that we do want to make today. Governor Murphy's executive order does not control the rights of the church. And that's an important statement for us. We understand the executive order has the power that it does for the time period necessary, but it doesn't trump the power of the Constitution, and it cannot go on indefinitely. We don't know how long the virus will continue. According to those speaking about vaccination, they're saying 12 months, 18 months. We can't have the numbers of the virus go up and down and that impact when we can go in and out of our church. So we have our rights, and we're going to exercise our rights. Pastor Jeff McLeod is here with us today. Pastor McLeod's church, Rio Grande Baptist Church, down in Rio Grande near Cape May, was told that it could not have a drive-in service. Attorney General Barr had established that on April 14th, and it was just last week that Governor Murphy changed the executive order allowing Pastor McLeod's church to be able to have drive-in services. So the governor did change the order, but it was a month late. He can change the order right now, and we need him to do that for our church. Our lawyers are fighting these cases all over the country. And in court, they're winning because the Constitution holds true. We don't want to fight. We're a peaceable people. We understand in New Jersey there's a lot of different groups that are trying to exercise their rights. We're not here to speak for all of them today. We believe every man should be free, every woman should be free. But we are here specifically speaking about the rights of religious liberty. And that needs to be preserved for us. So we will continue to pray for our governor and those in authority. But we as the church will exercise our constitutional rights. Solid Rock Baptist Church will begin services here this Sunday. I'm going to ask Pastor Andy Reese from the Bible Baptist Church of Clementon to come and make his remarks.
Thank you for being here today. It's good to have all of you, and I do want to thank Solid Rock Baptist Church and Pastor Clark for being a friend to us and an encouragement to us during these days. This past Sunday, May 17th, we made the decision, feeling led by the Lord, very cautious in making this decision that we were going to have services at our church. We hold services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We had a great day this past week. Our people that came were just refreshed and spiritually helped, and a lot of rejoicing going on during our service. But we were told by the chief of police, who very kindly told me that he would enforce the executive order, when I asked what that would mean, what would the consequences be for us to continue to assemble. We have service tonight at 7 o'clock. We're planning on meeting. We're not closing our doors. And he had told me at that time that they're not sure what the consequences would be. We didn't make this decision lightly. We're not acting irresponsibly or recklessly. We have taken measures to ensure our facilities are safe, they're clean, our people are being socially distanced. And we basically, as Brother Clark just talked about, felt that it being our constitutional right, our First Amendment right to have the liberty to meet and assemble peaceably, we also made this decision based upon the fact that we have a command from God's word, and our loyalty to God's word runs deeper than our loyalty to the governor, and then also the spiritual welfare of our people. Our people are hurting at this time. As many pastors know, there's only so much help that you can give to someone through a camera. There's only so many phone calls you can make, so many texts. that you can give, people need to meet together. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, that we are to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And so we're not to weep for someone, we're to weep with someone, and we're to rejoice with someone. And so our people are dealing with discouragement, anxiety, depression, all kinds of emotional problems that we cannot properly minister to without the assembly of the people of God. And so our hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're opening our doors. We are having service tonight at 7 o'clock. We're prepared to stand for what is right, for what is true, and we're prepared to face whatever consequences those are. If necessary, go to court, which we don't want that to be the case. We sincerely ask and wish our governor to list our churches as being essential. And so I do want to thank, again, Solid Rock Baptist Church for their support, their friendship, their standing for their First Amendment right, and we're glad that we can be a part of it.
My name is Mike Clark, and welcome to Solid Rock. They asked me to just take a few moments here to explain to you what church will look like here.
Now, this is them going out of their way, right? Now, they've laid out the case that you can't differentiate once you allow businesses to open. You can't say religion, but you're a religious organization. You can't do that. The Constitution says you can't do that. And I would tell you, it's almost like a fair amount of the population in this country has gone brain dead. And like whatever he tells us to do, we'll just do. No, you don't have to do that. Okay? But listen to the lengths they go relative to having services that are safe.
Here at our church and many other churches, as we enter our reopening phase, let me just say this, we've diligently prepared for the safe return of our church family. In no way will we be reckless. We'll do our best to ensure the safety of those who attend our services by doing all and even more than what is being required of the presently open essential businesses that are in our local community. Solid Rock Baptist Church has had our facility evaluated by a professional commercial cleaning company, which specializes in disinfection and infection prevention. We understand that the governor is concerned with the air quality in houses of worship. So we've acquired air scrubbers that will treat our entire auditorium airspace every 3.125 hours. And we'll continue to follow professional guidance and CDC guidelines when disinfecting our facility. In a practical sense, I'd like to take you through just kind of a list of things we will be doing this Sunday. Let me say this, when our folks enter our property, they will be guided by parking attendants to socially distanced parking spaces. Masks will be worn by all of those who attend our service as they approach these entrances. Our doors will be open in a fixed position so that they'll be touchless. We have thermometer greeters who will be scanning everyone's temperature before they enter the building. When they enter our facility, our ushers will guide them to socially distanced seating. We have 6-foot spacers in each pew that will clearly define proper social distancing. Also, our congregation has been asked to have limited use of restrooms. We have a restroom monitor and a restroom cleaner at the restroom facilities that we have, and only one person or family unit will be allowed to enter the restroom at a time, and when they leave, that restroom will be sanitized by our restroom cleaner. Our congregation will enjoy the service on Sunday, and then at the conclusion of the service, we will have an orderly dismissal to where they will dismiss from the back of the auditorium to the front so that we do not violate social distancing protocol. And so there's a lot of things that we will be doing in order to conduct ourselves responsibly during this pandemic. But let me say this, there are also many things that we will not be doing. For instance, we will not utilize our entire facility. Only 25% of our auditorium will be used, and we will use a much smaller percentage of our entire facility during this reopening phase. Initially, there will be no nursery for the babies. There will be no children's services. There will be no church choir singing. There will be no orchestra playing. There will be no hymnals used for singing. There will be no passing of offering plates and no fellowshipping in groups before or after the service. As Pastor Clark mentioned, we understand the concerns of the coronavirus. We are doing everything we can to comply to all of the safety measures that are being used by our community. We understand that we cannot have church as normal, but we can sanitize, social distance, and safely have church at this time. Thank you.
We'll take any questions at this time if anyone has one.
The Q&A is pretty interesting. So, again, this is local New Jersey media people.
Our letter to the governor was sent on Monday from our lawyers. And then also Pastor Reese's letter from Bible Baptist of Clementon was sent yesterday. And we're trying not to have a lawsuit here with our churches, but we have informed the governor and the attorney general, and we'll pursue this as much as we will need to. So it's not a lawsuit yet, but it could become one, and we are very, very much prepared for that. Yeah, to be very honest, I don't know that the authorities, because this is an executive order. It's not law in the sense of our normal law in the state of New Jersey. So when asking prosecutors, people in law enforcement, and I feel bad for the people in law enforcement because many are sympathetic towards our plight, and they themselves really don't know exactly what's going to happen. In some of the other states, we have a dear friend in Massachusetts, and there was a first fine and then a second fine. He has gone to court and won there, and now the churches have been opened up to 30% seating capacity right now, specifically because of our friend. His name is Chris Casey. And so the situation here, no one really says specifically what's going to happen because in New Jersey, according to the Attorney General, there's no warnings. But law enforcement, in my opinion, has not spoken clearly to us about what could happen. I've gotten some input from our local police chief, and the prosecutor contacted our lawyers, one of the prosecutor's assistants, I assume, and basically they don't want us to have church, but we're stating we're going to, we have to. I think basically what will happen is we will be warned or told we can't, and then the assessment of the situation will go back up the food chain, and so it'll go to the attorney general and to the governor, and the governor's aware of our situation and the fact that we are having church. Yeah, no one has mentioned fines. It's not set up, as from what I know, as far as part of the executive order. We will pay. We're not, let me retract that. It's not a matter of paying fines. If our rights are not recognized, then this will become a lawsuit pretty much near immediately. Yes. Right. Right. Well, that's the key statement you just made. It is different. It's not a gym. And with everybody having their rights, religious rights, in the First Amendment, are first in line. And we're not being recognized. In fact, we're not even in line right now. Churches really are not being talked about that much. Pastor McLeod, who's here, his church is what pushed things to where drive-in services were then allowed. And so, basically, God bless the gym and everybody that's fighting for whatever rights, but we have religious rights. They are protected by the Constitution and First Amendment. Religious liberty is our cause. And so we are protected underneath of the First Amendment and the Constitution. I'll take it this far. If everything else had been shut down, meaning grocery store, liquor store.
Now listen to this, because this is interesting.
Or pet store, bicycle repair shop, if all those things have been closed down, because of the severity of the virus, then we as a local church, all of our churches, would then have to take a look. And but honestly, under the Constitution, we'd still be protected then. In this situation, we've been discriminated against the entire time by saying you can open the liquor store, et cetera, and people are going into those. So if our church members can go to the grocery store on Saturday and be safe to whatever degree any of us are safe in this situation, surely we can come in here and have church under the First Amendment. So they're infringing on First Amendment rights. So however they're going to go about dealing with us, we're not positive, because really they don't state that. And again, we're not looking for a fight. The governor could fix this today. He could just say, executive order has changed, churches can go in, and we would be fine. And again, we will, as safe as possible, have church sanitized, social distancing. We're not looking to be renegade, pile in here, have church the way we've normally had it. Absolutely not. We are careful about our own church family and the community. We're trying to do the very best we can. Churches are loving. Churches are here to help. And you can't, with all that we do, those of you who pulled up today would have seen we have our addictions program on Friday evenings and on Sunday. We're reaching out to the community all of the time. You can't just say that's not essential, including because we don't make money as you know, some of the businesses do. We are here, and we are an essential part of the community, and that's always been recognized in American history. There's a reason why the Founding Fathers put religion and religious rights first in the First Amendment. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Interesting, right? Right. It's like, where is all, you know, you wonder. I mean, the whole lemming thing. And you know, I don't know, the most dictatorial measures have all been taken by Democratic governors who got it. I mean, again, the Democratic way is they've got a program and they're going to take care of you because you can't. And this is fundamental to the Constitution. And so watching it, I thought it was interesting. His father gets up and speaks here in a minute or two, and his father's awesome.
Thank you. I
appreciate what the potential ramifications will be if they do come and they do send law enforcement.
We are putting zero pressure, zero, on the members of our congregations. Those 65 and up, and in particular our elderly, our seniors, we're saying, listen, you could stay home and watch the live stream forever. We're putting no pressure, no mind games, passive-aggressive speech from the pastor, boy, you better be there. Absolutely not. We're telling all of our families. My brother had mentioned no nurseries or children's classes. We're not telling people they can't bring their children with them. But normally, all of what's here buildings-wise, we have nurseries, children's classes. We're keeping all of that in phase one off the docket right now. So we're telling our seniors, listen, you could stay home, no pressure. We're telling our families, come whenever you feel comfortable, and we'll continue to run our live stream services. And we are preparing them for behavior. So we are talking through at Zoom meetings, talking through exactly what was mentioned here. Here's how we're going to do things. We do have a group of people, like everybody you talk to, there's a group that don't like masks. Those folks, for now, if they don't want to wear a mask, they can sit outside. That's how that's rolling. So everybody coming inside, we're saying we are going to have this. We'll have our teams of people that will help. My brother mentioned the idea of a 6-foot spacers literally on the pews. All right. So we will walk around. He mentioned not congregating. It doesn't mean people can't talk, but fellowship and that's part of church command from the Word of God. It's essential for churches to assemble, to gather, and we need that fellowship. And so we'll do it socially distanced. And I'm the beach is open. I'm getting over sunburn from last week. Fell asleep on the beach. The boardwalk, I was there. And reality is people are there. They're interacting. We're going way above anything else that's being asked of businesses with the way we're handling things right now. So the church will be essential.
Is it 6 foot per family or 6 foot per person? Like, how are you?
Good question. Thank you. Yeah. So family unit, we're doing reservations at our church. They'll do a reservation. We have reserved seats for them. So the family unit stays together, and then it'll be 6 feet to the next person, be another family or another individual. And we're going every other pew in our auditorium. By the way, you are all welcome to walk in and look at our facility today. We more than welcome you to do that. So we're trying to be as careful as we can. We'll be at about 25% in our auditorium. And we still have the rest of the building. And pretty much we're not using most of that for any other reason. So we're again, hyper careful right now with reservations. We go into a grocery store, any of us go in, there's interaction very close, walking down the aisle and somebody. We're social distancing our cars so that they're literally two spots apart, a spot in between each one. So that's how that's rolling. Anybody else? Okay. I just want to close with this and say, first of all, thank you and reiterate, we do not want a lawsuit. We do not want a fight. We have people, including law enforcement, who attend our church. We love the authorities. I feel so bad for those who are dealing with what they're dealing with and having to execute the orders. We are praying for Governor Murphy, and we are praying for our leaders in government that God would give them wisdom. And so we appreciate you coming out here today and giving us your time. Churchesessential.org is a website that our church has started, and we are helping our other churches across the country. So if you go to churchesessential.org, there's a video there. We're feeling like a press company right now here at our church. We are running basically a command center and a press room for helping churches across the country. We have a group called Northeast Vision, and so we assist other churches in the Northeast. I've been on Zoom calls with many, many pastors throughout the Northeast and in other parts of our country. So again, we're not trying to be renegade or rogue. We are God-loving and New Jersey-loving citizens. Thank you for your time today. Can we do this? I forgot my own dad, the senior pastor, and he's the best one out of all of us with comments. He'll make whatever comments and close us with prayer. There we go. We'll get that. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Let me make a statement. I've been doing a lot of listening. We are not breaking the law by going to church. The law of the land, the highest law in the land, the Constitution of the United States, guarantees us freedom and liberty to worship our God. The people who are telling us we can't go to church are breaking the Constitution of the United States. And it's illegal. We are legal. We're not lawbreakers. Colonel Bliss is standing behind you on our church staff. I asked him this morning about his medals. He's got Bronze Star with Valor, deployed 5 times. Andy Reese, Pastor Reese's father, who's telling me inside the building, Vietnam veteran, got shot up with shrapnel in Vietnam. It's Memorial Day weekend. We have 60 flags out front, and we're going to have church on Sunday. And if they come in and drag us out, let them drag us out. If we don't stand up for our liberty, we won't have liberty to stand up for. I've always heard the cliche, freedom isn't free. Well, now it's not a cliche, it's real. It may cost us something. Ultimately, eventually, I have faith in our government, and I believe we will get a constitutional ruling in our favor and against whatever government New Jersey says you can't have church. It's just ridiculous in this country. Let me give you a little real quick story. I was a little 6-year-old boy, and my cousin came to say goodbye to my aunt. He was going to Korea. And I remember him. I saw him in his uniform. I was so impressed. He had one of those soft hats on, like a Boy Scout hat. And he kissed my aunt, and he shook my hand goodbye. Within 1 month, I remember being at the funeral with the flag-draped coffin. My other cousin was also killed in Korea. I had 2 cousins killed in Korea. They fought. If we don't have the courage to stand up with what a little bit of consequences we have, after they showed the courage they have, feel sorry for us. Freedom costs you something, and this is where it's happening right now. Let me say this to everybody. We're a church. And we never have church without preaching Jesus Christ. I was a 30-year-old construction worker with a bad gambling habit. And I went to a Bible-believing church, and they preached the gospel. They say you trust Jesus as your Savior. He'll forgive your sins and he'll give you eternal life. And I got saved. I asked the Lord to forgive me and save me. And God changed my life. I've been preaching the gospel, this book, for 45 years. And if I'm in jail, I'll preach it. Bunyan was in jail, the author of Pilgrim's Progress. He preached out of jail. The Apostle Paul was in jail. He preached out of jail. I ain't afraid to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail, but I ain't backing down. Our church ain't backing down. And there's churches all over this country aren't backing down. God bless you. I told you he'd be the best.
I don't know. Again, it seems like an awful lot of the country got brain dead on some of this stuff. And, we're talking about that's the Constitution of the United States, right? The original people came here. Well, Mac, what about emergency powers in a crisis? Well, what about them? As the Attorney General said, the Constitution doesn't get suspended because there's a crisis. So, anyway, we'll take a quick break. I just want to play it to you because I intended to listen to a couple minutes of it. I wound up listening to a whole thing. I thought it was very interesting, right? Little history lesson for everybody out there, right? You have your rights. This is the United States of America. And I believe some of the stuff that governors who are picking businesses, and genres of business that in their opinion or the opinion of one of their public health people, oh, you're essential so you could open. There's a standard that anybody that's open should live by. And if you live by that, you should be allowed to open your business. And this is bullshit. This is bullshit. All right, we're going to take a break. Grant Newsham is going to join me. We're going to talk about Hong Kong, right? Right. What's, how does this ultimately work out, right, with Hong Kong as China attempts to implement, right, new control over Hong Kong? And why now? Why on the heels of all this other stuff with the coronavirus and the bad media attention that China's getting, why would the Chinese do this now? Is this out of some playbook? And then what are the implications for Taiwan? So we'll talk to Grant about that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.